Welcome this morning to everyone. We're doing a new series, Teach Us to Pray, and we're going to read the text from Luke 11. So if you have a Bible or your electronic device and you want to find Luke 11, I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. It says it a little different than maybe some of our familiar memorized King James or NIV versions. So Luke 11, the new series is Teach Us to Pray. And I wanted to start with some humor this morning. And there are some ridiculously funny videos on prayer out on YouTube. And I thought that if I led with that, no one would take prayer seriously the rest of the morning. So do that on your own. Tim Hawkins, prayer, laugh out loud, and then be messed up. We watched some in staff meeting, and then it took us a long time to reel everybody in to real spiritual prayer after that. So I thought I'd stick with a simple little joke, and here it comes. So a young boy called a local pastor to ask him to come to his house and pray for his mom, who had been very sick with the flu. And the pastor knew the family and was aware that they were attending another church. So the pastor said, "Shouldn't you be asking Brother Simon down the road to come by and pray for your mom?" And the boy replied, "Yeah, we thought of that, but we didn't want to take the chance that he might get sick with whatever mom had, so we called you." Yeah, it's a pretty low expectation of prayer that whoever's doing the praying would succumb to the illness rather than overcome. All right, so there's a lot of things we could say about prayer. We know that prayer is important, right? And we know that we're supposed to pray, right? And so there's probably few things that are so important that we have so varied an experience with, from people who are brand new to faith to people who've walked with the Lord 40 and 50 years. There's a lot of variation in prayer. And so we want to look at this passage in Luke 11. And in this passage, a disciple comes to Jesus. So let's look at this together and learn a few things together, and then we'll see how God wants to close things. Once, Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said, "This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, and don't let us yield to temptation." Then, teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, "A friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat." And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, "Don't bother me. The door is locked for the night and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you." But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. I love the New Living Translation there. Because of your shameless persistence. Underline or highlight that. Verse 9, "And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you for this truth in Scripture. Thank you for this clear instruction on prayer. Teach us here at Grace how to pray. Teach us that we might know you more and walk with you in what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So why are we doing this series on prayer? You would hope that every time we have a series about anything, we would be led by God, right? So maybe that is a given, and we don't need to establish that. But I just want you to know, every time we start a new series, it isn't because we had a great idea and thought we'd give it a run and see how you respond to it, do a little, you know, focus group survey. And no, we don't do that. We seek the Lord. We pray. We ask the Lord, what is it you want to say? What is it that the body needs? And we go for it. And so that is true of this series. We're going to be talking about prayer for 8 weeks. Now, I say that to inspire you to come for 8 weeks, not to say, flip, we're improve my golf game here in the next 8 weeks, or whatever your response might be. We want you to learn to pray, and we want to inspire you to pray, and we believe God's called us to do so. A few stories that have led up to us being really impacted about the Lord's heart for us to learn in prayer. We've been doing a process for several years to get clear about the vision and the mission that God's given us, right? And I called it not just strategic planning, which is a corporate thing, and it's a wonderful thing to plan, but we called it prayerful prophetic strategic planning, because we're charismatic Christians and we go for it like that, you know? And so we don't just do strategic planning, we do prayerful prophetic. Find that one in the Darden School of of business. No, it wouldn't be. But that's who we are, and that's what we did. And so we spent time praying together. We spent time praying and listening to the Lord, and we came up with a wonderful strategic plan. We're pursuing certain objectives. We have a clarified mission statement, which is love big, grow deep, and we have this incredible vision that requires the Lord in us to accomplish, which is to see thousands of people saved, healed, and passionately following Jesus. That all came from God speaking to us as we sought him in prayer. And we have objectives that are helping us get there. And our leadership team was away in November, and we were reviewing all of that, and we were having a wonderful time together. And somebody chimed up in that meeting and said, where is our objective? Where is our strategy to grow in the area of prayer? And it got really quiet in the room. We had prayed like crazy to get direction and vision, but we weren't anywhere in our plan, which is, you know, 30 plus pages of great stuff. There was nothing in there about how to grow in prayer. We were convicted. I was. And then in January, we had our annual time of prayer and fasting. And again, I felt this. I personally need to be more prayerful. The Lord reminded Sue and I of a prophetic word that was given to us in South Africa that said things were going to really happen if she and I prayed together more. And so we were like, oh, I need to pray more. We need to pray more. Felt like the church needs to be more prayerful. And so God was speaking to us. And then in February, this will be the last kind of tipping point. In February, we had a conference, and the topic was church planting, and we had a wonderful conference. 150 people from our different network churches were together. And in the course of one of the sessions, a guest speaker had the five P's that were necessary to plant churches. And his first P was prayer. And I don't know if he ever talked about anything else, or I just can't remember it, but that's all I remember from his talk. Was prayer. And the reason I remember that in his talk is he gave three personal examples of crisis that was overcome in his life through prayer of the church. And as he shared those stories, I was just so impacted. And then he closed that talk with us as a group praying for 10 minutes in a charismatic way. It was profound. It impacted me. And just a little bit of this person's story. The person had a personal crisis in his health. He had had cancer years before. It had gone into remission. It came back with a vengeance, and they had nothing that they could do to treat it. Chemo wasn't going to touch it. And so the doctors were kind of like, we can help you treat pain, but you need a miracle. And he had an adult daughter who had gone off the rails and was in drugs and alcohol culture, and all these crazy things were happening to her. She was addicted to heroin. She was gone for weeks, and they couldn't find her. And he was then arguing with his wife on how to respond to the needs of their adult daughter, who was an addict. And so he had marriage crisis, he had family member crisis, he had health crisis, and he was praying, and he was being the man of God. And what God showed him is you need to get the church family praying for you, because this is bigger than you. And the minute the whole church began to pray for him, he had breakthrough in his health. He's cancer-free right now. He had breakthrough in his marriage. I won't even tell you what he said about how great his marriage is. It wasn't public. It's too much information. And then he talked about the Lord bringing his daughter back. He tells this story of him getting in his car, he didn't know where she was, and he just started driving, and he felt compelled, I've got to find her or she might die from this addiction. He's driving around, and the Lord leads him to this really rough neighborhood. He pulls up in front of the house, and he goes in and just invites himself into this guy's home who's strung out, and the guy knows his daughter and knows where she is. And they brought her out of that, and she is on her way back with the Lord, and she's drug-free right now. It's an amazing breakthrough. And it happened not because he did it by himself in prayer. It's because he humbled himself, told all of that to his body, and said, I need you to pray for me and my family. And when I heard that testimony, I was like, how do we think we're going to see thousands saved and healed if we don't pray more? So that's why we're going to spend 8 weeks on prayer. And we're all going to learn something. I'm already learning things. So let's get into this. So we're not going to get beyond these two verses today. There's two really key things in this verse. Verse 1, it says, teach us to pray. That's the part I've highlighted here on the slide. That's the part I want us to wrestle with a little bit. Teach us to pray. This disciple, after Jesus had finished praying, this disciple comes to Jesus and says, teach us to pray. Now, we know prayer is really important. We've already established that. We agree with that. Don't you think it is amazing? Like, this period of time is not week one of discipleship. This isn't a month into the disciples following this. This is probably year two or so of the disciples being with Jesus, and somebody says, Jesus, would you teach us to pray? Now, Jesus is the man. He is the example. He lived life perfectly. I am dumbfounded that he didn't sit these guys down at the very beginning and say, you're really feeble when it comes to praying. And here's how it should be done. Teach them, get them in accountability groups, and then reprimand them every time they wimp out when it comes to prayer. Isn't that how we do stuff in the church? Forgive me. So it's important like crazy, but Jesus waited till somebody came to him to talk about prayer with him. That's amazing to me. I'm not even sure I can explain why Jesus did it that way, but I think the big thing I want us to grasp is Jesus wanted them to want to pray. Now, we've got a praying aid. You may remember last year we emphasized reading the Bible and we had the Bible 90 challenge. Remember that? A whole bunch of us read the Bible for the first time last year. A whole bunch of us speed read it in 90 days. We had a couple overachievers who did it in less than 90 days just because they can. It was amazing. So we now have a prayer challenge card. So I want the ushers to be ready, and we're going to hand these out to everyone. Where is my usher team? Yeah, great. Pop up. Let's hand these out real quick. So this is something we're going to hand out every week. A prayer challenge card. And this is intended to inspire and encourage and to motivate, not to condemn, judge, or belittle, okay? So receive this as a whole bunch of creative, practical ways to engage in prayer more over the next 8 weeks. And it's got these little ideas, these little things that you can check off. And so some of you who are real list people will not feel satisfied until you have checked every one of these off, okay? And God bless you. Others of us who are a little more free-flowing, we'll look at one or two, we'll check them off, and we'll think we're God's gift to the world by finishing a couple of these. Whatever, use this as encouragement, okay? Now, what I want you to do to begin to personalize this is I want you to flip to the back, and there's about 5-6 extra blank lines. I want you to get something out with that you can write with right now. We're all going to write something on here. And there's two basic questions I want everyone to respond to. Here's question number one. Okay? Everybody's got something to write with. Everybody has their handy-dandy prayer card. Flip it over. There is open space. On one of those open space lines, I want you to write yourself this question. Do I want to learn to pray? Do I want to learn to pray? Okay? Now the answer isn't complicated, but I want you only to answer in a genuine, honest, authentic way. Question number two, what do I want to be different in my prayer life? Question number one, do I want to learn to pray? Question number two, what do I want to be different in my prayer life? We're going to come back to those questions, Lord willing. What do I want to be different in my prayer life? So Jesus had just finished praying. A disciple came to him and said, "Teach us to pray." It's incredible to note these guys have been together for a while, many months at this point. They're just now getting into the nitty-gritty of prayer. Here in Luke 11, the text is even more simple than the Matthew 6. The teaching to pray is nested in the Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew. It seems that God wants us to want to pray more than he wants to impose it on us. And so the question I move to right now is, what was it about the way that Jesus prayed that prompted this particular disciple to ask for instruction? What do you think made this disciple buy a clue and want Jesus to help him out with prayer? Well, later on, there's a story that's told right after the big moment in the Transfiguration where they're on the mountain and three of the disciples get to see Jesus transfigured along with Elijah and Moses. There's that, and they come down off the mountain and they're having this failure, which is a demon-possessed guy has man brought his demon-possessed son to be have him freed from that, and the disciples couldn't deliver him. And Jesus takes care of it and chides them a little bit about their lack of faith. And so there's certainly times of failure that make us desperate to learn something. This wasn't that. I think we can't say for sure, but the disciples weren't asking. This disciple wasn't asking because he'd never prayed in his life. The Jewish people had a pattern of prayer that goes all the way through the Old Testament. And Daniel is the most notable one because even though he was supposed to pray to this statue, he wouldn't, but he continued to pray to the one living God. And it talks about him opening his window to the east and praying toward Jerusalem at noon and being noticed and getting in trouble for it. They had a pattern of prayer. Morning, evening, and morning, afternoon, and evening prayer times were very typical. So the people were prayerful already. It wasn't that they weren't praying. It wasn't that there was big failure. There was something intriguing about the way Jesus prayed, and that's the focus of today's message, and it's about relationship, and Jesus prayed like he had a relationship with the Father. That's the big key, church. Jesus prayed like he had a real living relationship with the Father. Let me just, I don't want to wear you out with this, but I've got a whole bunch of prayers from the Old Testament. Here's how the Old Testament prayers began. Here's Abraham's servant. He was on this mission to find a wife for Isaac. It says, O Lord God of my master Abraham, give me success today. Here's how Jacob opened his prayer when he's about to meet his brother Esau. O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord. This is how Moses opened his prayer when he walked in on the people worshiping a golden calf. I prayed to the Lord and said, O sovereign Lord, do not destroy them. Samson praying right before he died in Judges. Samson prayed to the Lord, sovereign Lord, remember me again. Hannah, after giving birth to Samuel and rejoicing, Hannah prayed, my heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Elijah, when he was taking on the prophets of Baal, he says, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel. Elisha, when he was surrounded by the king, army of the king of Aram, Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes. Hezekiah, when he's besieged by an Assyrian king, O Lord, God of Israel, you are enthroned between the mighty cherubim. You alone are God of all the kingdoms of the earth. Daniel praying for the people of Israel. I prayed to the Lord. O Lord, you are a great and awesome God. Jonah, praying to the Lord from inside the fish, said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble. King Saul, praying, says, O Lord, God of Israel. David, praying after his sin with Bathsheba. O God, according to your unfailing love, have mercy. Everyone approached the Lord in prayer in a similar way. We learn from others, and there was a pattern of praying, and it was, O Lord, O God Almighty, O Sovereign Lord. And when Jesus begins his prayer, he says, Father. That's huge, church. You want to find out how you pray? If you're a parent and you want to find out how you pray, ask your kids to pray. You kind of hear things. That's a good thing, mostly. Isn't it? Isn't it a good thing when our kids mimic what we do? So the people in the Old Testament approached God. They Yahweh, Adonai, they had Hebrew words for God, this sovereign God Almighty. And when Jesus said, here's how you're to pray, he says, Father. Or in Matthew, it says, Our Father. Father. It's a really different approach to prayer. Just one word, but it's really different. The one implies a relationship. The other, God is God Almighty, God of the universe, sovereign King. He's all of those things, but when we're having a prayer time, when we are having communion, when we are having relationship with God, he says, pray this way, Father. When we relate to God as our Father, I believe our prayer life gets really different. Personal story real quick. When I was a college student, I had this encounter, this experience with God. In our charismatic terminology, we call it being filled with the Holy Spirit. And in my freshman year of college, I asked the Lord, please give me everything I need to walk with you. Give me this Holy Spirit thing that is being talked about in the church I attended. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And from that point on, when I began to read God's word, it was so different to me. It was the same thing I'd been reading, but it became life to me. And I remember reading through the whole Bible for the first time my freshman year in college, and I got to Psalm 139. Read it sometime. And it just really touched my heart. And I can remember hearing about passages from that, but here's a little snapshot. This isn't the whole psalm, but here's Psalm 139. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest ocean, even there your hand will guide me, your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. When I would hear those things prior, I would be like, crap, I can't get away with anything. That's how I felt for the longest time. The Lord touched my heart and things changed. And I read that from that point on. There is no way I will ever be left alone by God. He has my back. He has my front. He's everywhere. I can't leave him. You know how different that is? That's crap. I can't get away with anything. Do you see the difference? The one has a relationship. The other has this, God is this distant person who's just, sovereign, knows everything, and is waiting for me to slip up. Really different perspective, church. And he is just. He is righteous. He's all of those things. He's a father who loves you. When you pray, pray this way. Father, God is your good father. He loves you. He will take care of you. You can't get away from him. When we have a revelation of God as our father, it changes the way we pray. All right, let me try and be a little bit of a teacher and give you a few real brief points from this prayer. These first 13, 14 verses of Luke 11, the things I think we should hold on to about prayer. First of all, prayer is simple and it's brief. When prayer gets long-winded and wordy, you know what's happening? We're trying to impress someone, generally. Prayer can be brief and simple from the heart. I hope that frees a bunch of us up. We can listen to some people pray and they go on and on and we're like, I am preschool when it comes to prayer. No, it won't even take you 15 seconds to read this pattern of prayer that Jesus just gives us. Father, your name is holy. Prayer is simple and brief. Prayer emphasizes persistence, shameless persistence, it says there in the New Living, and I love that two words together, persistence. Even if he would ignore you because of your friendship, if you persist, the guy is going to help you out. And God is not looking to ignore us ever. Persist, church. Ask, keep asking. Seek, keep seeking. Knock, keep knocking. Persist. And the third thing that this passage he encourages his disciples in is to expect good answers. Expect an answer. He talks about we as earthly fathers wouldn't give bad things to a child who's asking for good things. We just wouldn't do that. And we're evil, and he is righteous and good, and he will only give good to his children when they come with need. So prayer can be simple. Prayer can be brief. Persist in prayer. Expect in prayer. In Matthew 6, where this same pattern for prayer is given, in Matthew's version, he gives a few other basic instructions. I'll just read this passage. You don't have to turn there. In Matthew, it says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. So in the Matthew version, there's a few other things that you could add to these three. One would be, don't pray in public pretending to be impressive. That set us free. Don't make a public display of your prayers. Go in private. Some people take that literally, and they have a room in their house they call their prayer room. A whole movie was made about that, by the way, which is pretty inspirational. Go check that one out sometime if you want to be encouraged in prayer. Don't put on a show in public. Do it in private. And don't repeat words mindlessly like other religions do. Could the worship team come up? I want to try and close this real quick. Here's some things I'm gaining from this study of prayer. Prayer is something we can all learn to do if we want to. Again, I don't care if you're brand new to faith and walking with Jesus or you've been doing it for 40 or 50 years, we can learn when we come to the Lord in prayer. And one of the big things I'm learning, oh, by the way, prayer is communication with God. Communication, good communication is talking and listening, talking and listening. I'm really becoming great as a communicator because I'm married to a good communicator, an awesome communicator. She will ask me questions, and then she listens, and I answer. And then I talk on and on and on and on, and then I'm done. And then I go quiet, and I think because I'm not talking, I'm listening. No, guys, let me help you with that. That's not listening. And I know this because I'm learning about good communication in my marriage. Come on, baby. Yeah. Guys, put this on your... Being quiet, shutting up, is not listening. We think, you know, I'm a good communicator. I talked to my wife. She asked me a question. I talked. And then I was quiet. Quiet is not listening. Quiet is asking good questions and then making eye contact while she talks. Come on, baby. I'm getting it. So communication with God. Prayer is communication. It is talking to the Lord, but it is listening. In fact, talking to the Lord isn't nearly as impressive or fruitful as listening to the Lord. Listening, this is what I'm learning, church. Listening is the big deal in prayer. This is an excerpt from a guy who is getting it really well. It's called Secrets of the Secret Place by Bob Sorge. Here's one of the most profound paragraphs I've read recently. I strongly advocate for a prayer life that is comprised mostly of silence. It's a great delight to talk to God, but it's even more thrilling when he talks to us. Boy, is that true. It's even more thrilling when he talks to us. I've discovered that he has more important things to say than I do. Things don't change when I talk to God. Things change when God talks to me. When I talk, nothing happens. When God talks, the universe comes into existence. So the power of prayer is found not in convincing God of my agenda, but waiting upon him to hear his agenda. Things change when God talks. Let's make our prayer life more about listening to the one who has the power to change everything, us included. Okay. I've asked the worship team to do a song for us, with us. And before we do that, I just want everyone to bow your heads. Yeah, play that anointed music. There we go. So I want you to just bow your head. You wrote two questions down on your back of your prayer card. Do I want to learn to pray? And what do I want to be different about my prayer life? And I'd just like you to talk to the Lord about your answer to those two questions. And then I want you to listen. And I'd like you to listen to what He wants to change about your prayer life. So let's just do that for a little bit. Something we can all learn to do. Prayer is communicating with God. Prayer is intimate. Prayer is listening more than talking. And prayer is life-changing. And I hope you've had a little bit of time listening to the Lord about what He'd love to do to change your intimacy with Him and your prayer and communion with Him. We're going to sing a song now. Some of us find it hard to sit still and listen to the Lord, and some of us find it because we're so easily distracted. Others find us just struggling. Do I really hear from God? This song that we're about to do is a type of confessional prayer. It's declaring who God is and declaring who I am in His eyes. And so I want you to sit in your seats. You can close your eyes. And I want you to just sing this song as a prayer together. And some of you will feel moved to respond to the truth of this song in some way. And it's okay to come up here to the front. And you can just kneel. Sometimes when God stirs in our hearts, we want to respond in some way. And so just moving out of your seat. And coming up here, you can kneel on the floor up here on the steps. You can stand up here. But as we sing this song, which has powerful truth about God as our Father, if you want to respond, you can move up front, kneel, pray, sing, stand, or you can just remain in your seat if that's more comfortable. Okay? Let's sing this together. I'd like to invite everyone to stand. We'll have a closing benediction. Before I read this portion of Psalm 103 as a blessing over you, as a closing prayer, I want to just invite, if we could have our ministry team people come forward. If you've come this morning and you want prayer for anything in your life to change, then this ministry team would love to pray for you. So I'll close with this prayer, and when I close, you'll be invited to come forward. If you want anything in your life to change, these people will pray for you. And if you don't want prayer, then you're dismissed to go. Let me just read these verses from Psalm 103 as a blessing and a prayer over us. God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered. He's rich in love. He doesn't endlessly nag and scold nor hold grudges forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. As high as the heaven is over the earth, so strong is his love to those who fear him. And as far as sunrise is from sunset, he has separated us from our sins. As parents feel for their children, God feels for those who fear him. He knows us inside and out. He keeps in mind that we are made of mud. Men and women don't live very long. Like wildflowers, they spring up and blossom, but a storm snuffs them out just as quickly, leaving nothing to show they were here. But God's love is ever and always eternally present to all who fear him. God's love is ever and always eternally present to all who fear him, making everything right for them and for their children. Lord, thank you for your great love. We pray that you would make everything right in our lives and in our children and in the lives of those we love and care about. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed to go. You're invited to come forward if there's anything in your life you want prayer for change.